Every year, East Coast Radio hosts the East Coast Radio Business Breakfast. 2024, it is the Mancosa East Coast Radio Business Breakfast. And at this business breakfast, we have some of the best keynote speakers the continent has to offer, some of the most inspirational and some of the most ingenious speakers from across South Africa and sometimes across the globe. This year, we have Vusi Temba Kwayo, John Sarney, Leanne Manas, and Miles Kubeka. An awesome lineup, and obviously we sold out really, really quickly. However, if you weren't able to get tickets to this year's Mancosa East Coast Radio Business Breakfast, here is a taste of each of our speakers. One of our speakers at the Mancosa East Coast Radio Business Breakfast is the man himself, founder and CEO of My Growth Fund Venture Partners, Vusi Temba Kwayo. And we welcome back to East Coast Radio, Vusi Temba Kwayo. How's it, Vusi?
Hey, bro. I am so blessed. I'm so good.
You're one of Africa's most booked speakers. So before we get into this year and what you're going to be talking to us about, as somebody who speaks in so many different places, like you speak on business in Joburg and in Cape Town, but also throughout Africa, Lagos and Accra, is there any difference apart from language barriers? I mean, as far as talking business anywhere else in the world, or is it all the same?
No, it's vastly different, right? So for me, about last year was less than 15% of the work I did was in South Africa. This year, it'll probably be less than 10%. I've just come back now from Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. I was in Ethiopia. I was in Qatar. Before that, I was in Uganda. So the year started off with a storm. And between Monday and now, I've been in Cape Town twice, sort of in and out. So it's been an incredible year. But the thematic conversations are different. And the reasons they're different is because different leaders in different markets are struggling with different things, right? If you're doing business in South Africa, let's be completely honest, it's just like, how do I survive? Our economy is growing at less than 1% and has done for the past 12 years. The population compounded annual growth rate is at over 2.3%. So just being alive in South Africa over the past 12 years, you've gotten poorer. Our currency has gotten weaker. And the fundamentals of our economy are very difficult. You can't get goods to port. If you can get them to port, you can't get them shipped. The road infrastructure is poor. The water infrastructure is poor. The local authorities in many parts are falling apart. The inner cities are in turmoil. And the politicians are just too busy arguing over who's to blame rather than thinking about how to fix it. And in the heat of this, as a business person, you've got to be thinking about, how do I build a business? How do I deliver profits? How do I keep cash flows positive, right? Because that's, at the end of the day, the lifeblood of your business. How do you keep cash? And then how do you retain people? How do you find the best people and retain them, skill them? And how do you get your customers and keep those too, right? So the fundamentals are very, very different. In many other parts of the continent, in Nigeria, the market moves so fast. It's so aggressive that if you operated the way you do in South Africa, you wouldn't survive for a week, let alone a period of a financial year. So kind of what I bring into the conversation is just a broader perspective of what other entrepreneurs in other markets are doing, what's working, what other executives in other markets are doing and what's working, and what other leaders in other markets are doing and what's working. And then therefore say to the audience, if this is what we know works, maybe you need to consider how you need to approach your own space.
Wow. Now, so talking about here at home, you famously called out our president and said our parliament was filled with clowns. And I don't know, this is about a year ago, maybe even longer than that, when you said this. Do you have an update on that statement?
The update would be, let me think about that. Might be, the lunatics run the asylum. I think that's really where we are right now. It is the lunatics run the asylum. Look, I think that one of the problems I have with South Africans and where we are, just in our lack of political maturity, is our inability to differ politically but want the same thing for our country. And South Africans tend to personalize things that are not. So, for instance, when you're Vusi Temba Kwayo and you call out the leader of the nation state, all of a sudden, all sorts of government agencies start phoning you and you get audited and all sorts of things. Just suddenly, out of the blue. It's very strange, this. Because it certainly doesn't happen in other markets where we operate, I can tell you that for sure. So there's a lot of political immaturity. And I think, frankly, that a lot of the people in the political court, a lot of the guys who do state business, what people kind of colloquially call tenderpreneurs, are just panicked at the moment because they know that they've had 30 years of building networks that may or may not get that seat back in that council, may or may not be part of that municipality again, may or may not be part of that provincial authority again. And in the midst of all of this, the politicians themselves are panicked because they're not sure what's going to happen post May 29th. So as a consequence, there's a lot of personalization. For me, it really isn't personal. Listen, if you're a king, you must expect to be criticized. Yeah. It's not the person I'm criticizing. It's the seat and what you're doing with it. And if you're the ruling party, you must expect to be criticized. Not the party we care about. It's what you're doing with the power you've been given and trusted with by the citizens. That's just how it's going to work. And you can't expect the prize without the pressure. That's not the way that leadership works. And so I'm often disappointed just at the sheer lack of maturity that you find in much older people who you think would be able to sit across the room, listen to criticism, take the criticism, and whether or not they do something about it is a separate matter. But hear the criticism. I must tell you, Darren, I've been in this a really, really long time. I've been in almost every single think tank you can talk about, every symposium, every conference, every summit. The mistake South Africans make is to think that our leaders don't know what the problems are. They know exactly what the problems are. The second mistake we make is to think that they don't know what the solutions are. They know precisely what it is that the solutions are. The real question South Africans must ask themselves is, if they know what the problems are and they know what the solutions are, then why aren't they doing anything about it? And that's actually the real problem. The real problem is that the agency doesn't sit with the person you have elected, but sits with the party that puts them there. And that has a different agenda to what might suit, for instance, your little local municipality. So I was read this morning about what's happening in KZN, what's happening in Durban, the poorly situation with what's happening with refuse collection and all sorts of, and I just, in my mind, I can't wrap my head around how you get to that kind of state. And it simply is because people have just been given unfettered power. So all I can do is do the work that I do. And the work that I do is to work with people who run businesses, who build businesses, who employ people, who pay salaries, who pay taxes, who keep the economy going, and to teach them how to survive when the odds are against you. That fundamentally is what it comes down to for me.
Yeah, and I think that's why you're such a sought-after speaker, is that you do answer those questions, Vusi. You know what? Is it even possible to run or start a successful business in KZN or in South Africa without getting into bed with unsavory characters?
There absolutely is. And I'm surrounded every day. I'm surrounded by amazing, incredible entrepreneurs who are doing it. I'll tell you a funny story. I'm just reminded now, on Saturday, I was flown out by a client of mine out to Bloemfontein, of all places. Would you believe it? And he runs this like incredibly large power business out of Bloemfontein, and they're owned by a private equity outfit in Mauritius. And you drive past his place and not even pay attention. This guy employs well over 1,000 people, and he's doing incredibly well. And he's not, as far as I'm aware, had to shake a single hand of an unsavory character insofar as scaling and building his business. He's 10x'd his business, it must be said, in about 7 years. So phenomenal, phenomenal growth. So it absolutely is possible. Your question, though, is correct. And the reason your question is correct is because it's becoming less so. So let me just make this as a final point. This is precisely how it is that people in power who are corrupted work. What they do is they monopolize power, then they monopolize economic opportunities because you can't remove them and enjoy a growing economy. And so that's how they cement themselves in the system. So one of the things they'll do is they'll destroy private enterprise, for instance, and make it sure that the only way you can succeed is if you come to them and beg to them. It's kind of the same as, like, I'll say something about a, you know, particular political party or a politician or something like this. And then the next thing on the comment section, somebody will say, this is the problem with these clever blacks who think they can criticize the ANC. And you go, what does my being black have to do with the fact that the person I'm criticizing has just been accused of stealing R500 million from the nation state? What does race have to do with it? What in effect they're saying is that because we believe of ourselves to be the one who has given you as a black person the opportunities that you have, you don't have the right to criticize us. And the irony is that actually that's antithetical to freedom. You can't say that you've delivered a freedom and then say to the people to whom you've delivered a freedom, but don't exercise it. So, hey, you're free, but don't think for yourself. Don't criticize for yourself. Don't speak for yourself. Don't act for yourself. But you're free. So free of what am I then, right? So it's a very, like, a deep ideological conversations. But this is why, even in an area like, for instance, the KZN, which is my spiritual home, love it there, you know, have family there. This is precisely what it is that's happened in many parts of that continent. I was in Kokstad at the beginning of the year, would you believe it, on a program that we run internally in the business. It's like a CSR program. I spent 2 days there, went into Kokstad. It was the second time, right? Okay. So, and went right through the province, through the city and all of it. And it's what they do, monopolize economic opportunity so that the next time somebody wants to speak, they can't speak because we control them. And I'm not sure about you, but I don't quite think that that's the vision of a South Africa that we all wanted. I think we wanted a South Africa where you and I can disagree, but at the end of the day, want the country to succeed in any event, even if we think what success looks like is different. So we do have a long way to go, for sure.